The Gemara in Zvachim says that just like sacrifices are create an atonement, right, the machaper, so too the clothing of the Kohanim also affected an atonement. Problem is, the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah describes the purpose of the priestly garments, and it says that it has really four functions. It says lekadsho lekahanoli. The purpose of the clothing of the Kohen is to sanctify him in order that he should be able to serve. And the rabbis comment on that when the clothing is on the Kohen, he's a Kohen. And if the clothing is not on the Kohen, he's like not like a Kohen. At least vis-a-vis serving in the Beis HaMikdash. He's still a Kohen, that he has all the laws of a Kohen that apply to him. But the ability for the Kohen to make sacrifices and to serve in the temple, he has to be clothed in his special clothing. The clothing make the man in this situation. And the second thing the Torah says the purpose of the clothing is, lekavod l'tiferes, for honor and glory. And there are those that say honor and glory of the Kohen, or honor and glory of God. It's an honor and glory to God that his servants are dressed royally. And it's also an honor and glory to the Kohen himself, that the Jewish people should see that he is dressed in a royal fashion. Okay. So the Torah says those are the functions of the clothing, to sanctify the Kohen and to make him fit to serve and to be an honor and a glory. It doesn't say, though, that it's there for atonement. Doesn't say that the clothing affect an atonement. So why the rabbis say that the clothing affects an atonement when the Torah doesn't list that as one of the functions of the clothing? I'm thinking of explaining it in the following way. The clothing of a person to a certain degree identify him. And the idea is that without clothing, a person is just a body. And that's how people look at it, right? Just a unclothed body. The clothing represents that body is clothed literally in mitzvos, in midos, right? It hints to the importance, the enhancements of what the body is. A person is a body. God created you as a body, but you're supposed to add to that body and clothe it in good deeds, in good character traits, and so the clothing represents the idea that the body is not just a plain body itself. There's more to it. Right? A person has a soul, and the soul basically enhances that body with a tremendous amount of things. And therefore, the opposite is also true. When a person has bad character traits and he does sins, so his body is clothed with dirty clothing. It's called begodim hatsoim. And therefore, the clothing of the Kohen serves the first purpose in order to sanctify him so he should be able to serve, because the clothing itself represents the inner specialness of the Kohen, why he can serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Why was the Kohanim, why were they chosen? What are their special character traits that enhances their bodies? Their bodies aren't any different than anybody else's body. So why were they chosen to serve in the Beis HaMikdash? So the clothing is supposed to bring out and represent what their inner specialness is. For instance, it says that the Kohen Gadol Aaron was merited to wear the choshen, right, the breastplate with the names of the Jewish people on it, because he had a special heart. This therefore showed the specialness of his heart. What was special about his heart? That when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be the one who would redeem the Jewish people, even though Aaron was the older brother and he was used for many missions in Egypt before this, not only didn't he feel slighted but he saw and was happy in his heart for Moshe Rabbeinu. So it showed the tremendous character trait that Aaron had of being able to be happy for somebody else and not to feel slighted because he was passed over. And because he had that tremendous character trait of being happy for someone else and not feeling slighted himself, he was zoche to have the names of the Jewish people on his heart. He had a special heart. So the choshen, the clothing, represented that specialness of Aaron's heart. That's why he had the clothing. So therefore, the first function of the clothing is to identify the specialness of the Kohen, and therefore he is able to serve, to be chosen to be the servant of God in the temple because of that specialness. His specialness is not his body. His body is no different than anybody else's body. But it's what the body is clothed in, right? And the clothing represents that spiritual clothing that the body of Aaron had. The Marsha takes it another dimension. And he says that the clothing themselves help to bring out the qualities of the Kohen. Okay? In other words, they not only signify it, but they help to bring it out. How so? He says that the shirt that the Kohen wore, okay, a white shirt, okay, was the opposite of murder. Right? It says, well, first of all, let me tell you what the begadim are supposed to atone for. It says the shirt atones for murder and the hat atones for a gasus haruach, a person feels haughty. The pants atone for gili arayus, immorality, sexual immorality. The belt which is opposite the heart, the avnate, atoned for bad thoughts of the heart. The choshen, the breastplate, atoned for distorted judgment and justice, injustice. The ephod, which was like an apron, atoned for idolatry. The me'il, which had bells on the bottom, atoned for lashon hara. And the tzitz, the tiara which the Kohen wore over his forehead, atoned for chutzpah, azus panim.
What's okay. Lashon hara?
What? Lashon hara was the me'il, because it made noise. It had bells on it. So the Marsha says that the clothing itself helped to negate these sins and bring out the qualities of the Kohen. For instance, the shirt, why did that atone for murder? Because usually people murder people, they shoot them, stab them or whatever, and their shirts become full of blood. So the white shirt represented the antithesis of murder. So when a Kohen wore this white shirt, it brought out the idea to protect him from that sin and to bring out the idea of how nice it is for people to get along and not kill each other and make them wallow in their blood. The hat, it says when a person covers his head, it brings you to humility, right? And that counteracts gashus haruach. It counteracts being haughty. So the clothing itself helped to bring out the quality of humility, and therefore it atones for the sin of haughtiness. The pants cover a person's erva, right? His nakedness, and therefore it comes to atone for gili arayus, which is sexual immorality. The belt is near the heart, so it comes to bring out the idea of how important the heart should be pure. So it atones for bad thoughts. The choshen is also on the heart with all the names of the Jewish people, and therefore it comes to teach me the importance of justice. The ephod counteracts idolatry. The me'il, which makes noise, right? Good noise, nice sounds, music, right, bells ringing, counteracted the very bad noise of Lashon Hara. And the tzitz, which was on the Kohen's forehead, it says that a forehead is the place where you see a person's chutzpah. Right? He has and therefore it brought out the quality of the opposite of chutzpah. So the clothing themselves not only signified the qualities of the Kohen that he is clothed in and make him special and able to serve, but they also help to bring out those qualities. And therefore, the clothing, and on the one hand, sanctifies the Kohen, identifies why he is special. At the same time, it shows that specialness to others. So it is an honor to God that the people that serve him are clothed in these nice qualities and mitzvos and midos. And also, it is a honor and glory to the Jewish people that they see the Kohen dressed in such nice clothing, and it influences them. It makes an effect on them that the Kohen now is somebody that is impressive. It impresses and influences them. Okay, and therefore that also atones, because when the Jewish people see these clothing and what they represent about the fine qualities of the Kohen, it gives them the incentive to want to emulate those qualities. So says the Meiri, that when they see the various clothing and what they represent, then the Jewish people want to emulate those qualities also, because they are good qualities to emulate. The Maral says that when the Kohen is the representative of the Jewish people, and when he is clothed in all of these fine positive things, then it takes away the negative things that the Jewish people clothe themselves in sometimes. That's the atonement. Even more than that, the Maral says that the clothing, because it represents the good qualities, it also negates bad qualities. So the clothing itself, what's it called, negate various sins of the body, right? And the soul and the emotional side of a person. There's three basic sins. There's gilui arayos, immorality, which is basically a function of the body. And then there is murder, which is a function of the emotional side of a person, because usually you murder people because you hate them or you're mad at them or whatever. It's anger, it's emotions that lead you to murder. And it's body, right, materialism, that leads you to sexual immorality. And avodah zarah, in idolatry, is what your mind, your seichel, your neshama, leads you to in a negative way. So these clothing work on three levels. They bring out and negate the sins of the body, of the soul, and of the emotional nefesh of the person. And the other clothing, there's eight clothing, so those are the three main ones. The other things are branches of those three main sins. What are they? Gasus haruach, which is haughtiness, is a branch of gilia, of immorality, right? It says that, what's it called, that a promiscuous woman has a lot of, what's it called, chutzpah, right? And that's why immorality and chutzpah, you don't have any shame. It's a person who's unashamed, right? It is a connection to immorality. So shame is something that is a branch of immorality. The bad thoughts of the heart, right, lead a person to idolatry and kfira, minus, right, thoughts of not believing in what you're supposed to believe. And when you distort justice, it leads to murder. That's the ultimate injustice. And those are six of the sins. And Lashon Hara, which is the seventh, okay, is the antithesis of the entire human being. A person is identified by his speech. That's what makes a human being a human being. He can speak. He's not an animal. He's a speaking, intelligent human being. And when a person distorts takes his speech and uses it in a negative way, so he is affecting his entire being as a human being. Therefore, the clothing help to not only bring out the positive qualities of the Kohen, but to negate the negative qualities that a person could have, both in body, soul, and emotional nefesh. The Ramah in Torah Sa'ola says, takes it even one step further. He says that the first human being, right, who was supposed to be the crown of creation, had eight mitzvahs that he was supposed to do. Seven that were given to later on to Noah and his children, to non-Jews. And the eighth was he wasn't allowed to eat from the tree of knowledge. That was his eighth mitzvah. He was given eight mitzvahs. And even though he wasn't permitted to eat meat, that took the place of not being able to eat meat taken from a live animal, which was one of the seven mitzvahs of Noah. So he had the seven mitzvahs of Noah, just substituting not eating meat for not eating meat taken from a living animal. He wasn't allowed to eat meat at all. And the eighth was not eating from the tree of knowledge. Okay. And he transgressed that mitzvah and he lost his splendor. The Kohen Gadol recaptures the level of that first man, of Adam HaRishon. He recaptures that he's now the crown of creation. And therefore he wears eight articles of clothing. Each one of them represents another one of these eight mitzvahs that Adam HaRishon had. And they are, the pants represent Gilui Arayos. It says it atones for sexual immorality. The shirt atones for murder. The ephod, which is like the apron, which goes up to the heart. It was around the Kohen by his heart and then down to the rest of his body. That atones for idolatry. And these are three of the eight mitzvahs. The choshen, the breastplate, was keneged dinim. One of the seven mitzvahs is to create a justice system. So the choshen corresponds to the justice system, that one of the seven mitzvahs. The tzitz, the tiara that goes around on the Kohen's forehead, represented the opposite of azus, of chutzpah, and that represents the prohibition of cursing God. That's also one of the seven. The ultimate chutzpah is to curse God. The me'il was, against lashon hara, like we said. But the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge came from the lashon hara that the snake spoke against God. So it was a function of lashon hara. And hirur halev, right, the fact that ephod is the choshen is mahar on hirur halev, on what you think in your heart, right, that goes against lo sachmod, not being jealous, which leads to stealing, which is one of the seven mitzvahs. And the hat is against being haughty and eating meat or eating prohibited meat, like flesh taken, makes a person, very haughty, gasas haruach, it makes him more gas. Adin means to be, gas. Gas means, what is being gas in English? To be very crass. That's a word. Crass. and not to be refined. Right? Adinus is being refined and whatever. Okay. So eating meat that's prohibited makes you more crass, brings you down, and that takes away your refinement. Okay. So these eight clothing correspond to the eight mitzvahs that Adam HaRishon had, and which he basically destroyed when he ate from the tree of knowledge. And these restore those mitzvahs to the Kohen, who now takes the place of that first man who is supposed to be the crown of creation. And therefore, the clothing both define the Kohen. What is he? What are his qualities? What's his characteristics? What is he represent? And it therefore brings out those qualities to enable him to be able to know why he's serving God, why he was chosen. At the same time, it's an honor to God and an honor to the Jewish people to see and understand the identity of the Kohen and to learn from it. So, because the Kohen is both a messenger or an agent of God, he's an agent of the Jewish people. So, therefore, what is the functions of the Kohen? Why does he need all of these qualities? Because he has various functions. One function of the Kohen is to atone for the Jewish people by bringing sacrifices or whatever. Rabim Heshiv Me Avon, it describes Aaron as a person who brought many people and redeemed them from sin. And another thing, the Kohen teaches Torah. And the Kohen makes peace and harmony and brings people closer to Torah. That was Aaron HaKohen's midos. And therefore, the clothing identifies the strengths and the qualities of the Kohen that enable him to fulfill these functions. And since one of the functions of the Kohen is to be an atoner, so the clothing atone, meaning the clothing that identify the Kohen, they in fact create the ability for the Kohen to atone for the Jewish people. So the clothing indirectly atone for these sins. That's the idea. Therefore, the Torah doesn't mention the fact that the clothing atones for sins, but it's a natural function of what the clothing are. The clothing doth define the Kohen, and the Kohen is an atoner. So the clothing that define the power of the Kohen to atone for those sins. They're the ones that cause that atonement. There's something else that defines a person. His clothing, his name, also identifies him and defines him. Okay? The name of something represents its inner qualities of the soul. And therefore, when the Kohanim were installed, not only were they clothed in special clothing, but they were called by name. Torah says, "The Ato Hakrevi Lechos Aaron Achicha, bring close your brother Aaron and his children." And then it repeats again, Aaron, Nadav, Aviv, it mentions by name. So, in order to install the Kohen, you had to define and identify who that Kohen was. So one way of identifying and defining the Kohen was putting these special clothing on, which represented the qualities that the Kohen was clothed in. And also the other way was by calling him by name. The name of the person identifies him and defines him. Okay? And the next thing that defines and identifies a person is his speech, his language. You tell a person by what he says, what he represents, right? What kind of things come out of his mouth represent what is he expressing about his essence. And therefore it says, Sifse Kohen Yishmeru Das, the mouth of the Kohen is supposed to teach Torah. So what he says and what he speaks defines what his inner Kedusha is, inner holiness is. So the clothing helps to define and identify the body of the Kohen. The speech identifies the nefesh, the ruach of the Kohen, the spirit of the Kohen. And the name represents the neshama. What is the qualities of the soul of a person are represented by his name. And that's why when the Kohanim were installed, they were anointed on their ears, on their thumbs, and on their big toe. Hands, feet, and ears. The ears represent the seichel, the mind of the Kohen, the intellect of the Kohen. The hands represent what a Kohen does with his hands. His nefesh, his putting his emotions into effect through his hands, and his feet represent where his body is brought. Feet. So Kohen is a rodev shalom. He runs after peace. So that's what his feet. He makes the sacrifices with his hands, and he teaches Torah with his mouth and his ears. So those are the places that needed to have the oil anoint him and bring out these bring out these qualities. So that's the idea of the begadim of the Kohen. They help to identify the Kohen, his body, why this person was chosen to be God's representative and servant more than other people because of these qualities. And those qualities then could affect a good influence on the Jewish people by seeing the Kohen dressed in this clothing that represented these qualities. Okay. I want to explain with that why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in this Sedra. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the pillar of Torah, whereas Aaron, his brother, was the pillar of avoda, of service to God. Moshe was netzach, was the quality of eternity, which is Torah. Aaron was the quality of tiferes, glory, which is serving God, with sacrifice, whatever, which is glory to God. But the eternity that represents God's essence and eternity, that is Torah. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was identified completely by one of these three things: his speech, not his name, and not his clothing. Moshe didn't need clothing to identify him, and he didn't wear special clothing. When Moshe served in the temple in the beginning, he was the one who installed the Kohanim. He didn't wear any special clothing. He wore white clothing, like a kittel. He didn't have any special clothing, because he didn't need special clothing. His main attribute was, what identified him was his speech, was the Torah that he gave. Torah Tzivolanu Moshe. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu's name also didn't identify him. He was identified with his speech, with the Torah. He was totally enmeshed with the Torah. The Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu, Toras Moshe, right, were the same thing. So the Kohen needed to be defined by his name, by his clothing, and by his speech. And Moshe Rabbeinu only had to be identified by his speech, and that took care of everything else. So therefore, in the Parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu is to install the Kohanim and to define them and identify them by name and by speech and by clothing, Moshe Rabbeinu is contrasted to them, and he is what's it called, only represented by his speech. He's the one who calls to the Kohanim, but he doesn't have his name mentioned, and he doesn't have any special clothing, because Moshe Rabbeinu is completely Torah. Okay. And that's why the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that each of the Goluses, each of the exiles, and the redemption was in the schus of somebody else. The first one was in the schus of Avram, the second one Yitzchak, the third Yaakov. But this Golus that we're in now, Golus Romi, we will be redeemed in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, we need the schus of Torah. And without the fact that we have the schus of Torah, we won't be redeemed. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, will not let the Jewish people be redeemed until they acquire the merit of Torah. And therefore, it is very upsetting, to say the least, that this country has chosen to trample the Torah and to deal with utter disrespect to both people who represent Torah, people who are learning Torah, right? Whether it's Rabbanim, whether it's the chief rabbis even, right? people that totally want to eradicate Torah from this country, right? And with all different kinds of laws and decrees and whatever. And instead of, as they see it, that this Medina is the beginning of redemption, they're pushing away the redemption, because the more that you trample on people who are learning Torah, people who represent Torah, and the Torah life of the Jewish people, you push away the Geula, right? And when there's no water of Torah is compared to water, then there's no rain, because the waters of Torah are being suppressed. And also it says in B'chukosai Teilechu, right, if you will listen and toil in my chukim, which means Yilios Ameilim B'Torah, if the Jewish people will put their efforts into Torah, then the Rabbanu Shalom promises us all the good things in the world. But the opposite of being Ameilim B'Torah is Halachtem Imi B'Keri. You will walk with me in a way that is not putting your effort into Torah, but very flippant. Happens to be a hint also to the fact that if we want Eretz Yisrael, and we don't want to leave this land, then we want a rights to it, then you have to put your efforts into Torah. If you don't, then comes the carry, right, to happen, and threatens to take away the land from Klal Yisrael. Okay? And therefore, what we have to pray for is that these people who are making these decrees and who represent this government either fall and a new government comes, or that they do tshuva and realize what is proper and what's not proper. And the main thing you have to pray for is Hashiva Shofteinu Kavarishona. The Rambam should bring back the real judges and the real leaders, and not the Knesset, but what real leaders are supposed to be, different kind of leadership, which will be when Mashiach will come, and then we'll have a real leader, real what government is supposed to be, and that, Emir Tzashem, will solve the problem eternally. Until then, we hope that the problem will be solved at least temporarily by either these people realizing the error of their ways, or other people taking their place.